Hey, this is Brent Ingersoll from King's Church. Thanks so much for tuning into our podcast. I pray this message you're about to hear empowers you, encourages you, challenges you, and equips you to live the life that Jesus has for you. Thanks for tuning in.
My teaching today, I've got an equipping message. It's not going to be super emotional or heavy, but I do have a teaching for us today that goes quite well with this idea of keeping thieves at bay and guarding your home. The title of my message today is Peacekeeping. Peacekeeping. Over the last handful of weeks, we've been talking about this idea of a Christmas party and looking at different members that you find in the nativity story. And we looked at Simeon, and we looked at Elizabeth and Mary. And this week I want to zoom in on Jesus himself, but Jesus as the Prince of Peace. Jesus as this one who brings us peace. It tells us in the Old Testament, as you start to unfold the promises of the Messiah, it talks about what the Messiah is going to do. And there are key themes around the Messiah, that he's going to come and he's going to save and he's going to forgive and he's going to heal and he's going to cleanse. But if you could sort of articulate the work of the Messiah in one kind of banner, it would be that he has come to bring people peace. It's why the Messiah came. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 9, when it's talking about what the Messiah is going to do, it says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us," verse 6, "a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of," say it with me, "Peace." The Prince of Peace, the one who would bring peace, that's going to be the marker of the ministry of the Messiah, that he's somebody who issues in peace. And then you see this theme carried over in Luke chapter 2 when we read the Christmas story. Let's look at it. It says, "While they were there," talking about Mary and Joseph, "the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth," say it with me, "peace to those on whom his favor rests." So the angels start to declare that in the giving of this Messiah, in the arrival of Jesus, this is going to bring great glory to God, and the result for humanity is that it's going to result in peace on earth. That peace is the marker of the ministry of the Messiah. That this is the claim of the gospel, that Jesus has come to bring us peace. Peace with God. The forgiveness of sin, that he's reconciled us to God. Peace from our past. He's given us mercy and forgiveness. Anybody thankful for a clean slate in Jesus? He gives us peace in the present that comes from knowing him, that we get to experience his living presence dwelling in us, that we can know that no matter what I face in life, that he's with me, and that even when I go through the darkest valley, I'll fear no evil because he's with me. Peace that comes from knowing who holds my future. Do you know how much peace comes from just knowing that Jesus is already in tomorrow? Jesus is peace. He's the Prince of Peace. This word peace you find in the Old Testament, the word shalom, which is more than just the absence of fear and conflict. It's maybe I would say it like this: it's all rightness. That's what shalom is, that everything is right. This is what Jesus came to bring. He is the one who came to bring peace on earth. So here's the question I want to ask today. Where did our peace go? Where did our peace go? If Jesus is peace, and if the gospel is true, why do we struggle so much to have peace? The reality is, most of us here today believe by faith that Jesus is our peace, but when it comes to our experience, how many of us struggle to keep our peace? A lot of us are so used to living, not having peace, that we've just figured out how to live without it, in this constant state of anxiety and stress management. Does that relate to anybody? I live there. Christmas claims that peace has come to earth and that God gave us the Prince of Peace, His Son, Jesus Christ, and that peace is the gift that He's given us. So why don't we have Him? Where did peace go? Where did our peace go? And I don't need to push too hard for you to know what I'm about to say is true, but we live in what is perhaps the most peaceless time of all time. It's global instability, which isn't new. That's always been a thing. Go back to Genesis chapter 4. We've been fighting each other for a long time. But you have this rise of mental illness and addiction and suicide and depression. We live in a time of heightened and petty division and tribalism. We all live with this low-grade angst that comes from not trusting the people in charge. Amen? Yeah. We live in a world where there are seemingly no adults in the room. You ever feel I didn't experience this too many times, but remember as a kid when the babysitter seemed to be doing things? I was the oldest, and so I was always like, I had a better pulse on what should be happening in the house and what's not. And you ever have a babysitter that's like, I don't think my parents would greenlight this. And the anxiety that comes from it, like just from having bad caretakers. We live in a peaceless time. Here's some stats. In Canada, 23% of adults screen positive for generalized anxiety disorder. There are 5 million Canadians that have a mood, anxiety, or substance disorder. Half of Americans reported feeling lonely or emotionally disconnected. 21% of people exhibit depression symptoms. In the U.S., over 60 million people, that's 23%, experienced some form of mental illness in the past year. 43% of U.S. adults are more anxious than they were last year. 60% of people have trouble sleeping because of stress. 73% of people say that stress impacts their mental health. Over a billion people globally live with some form of anxiety or depression. Now, although these stats are painting in broad strokes and they're probably not delineating between what is neurological and what is physiological and spiritual and sociological, I think it's clear that we struggle to keep our peace. And the question I want to ask is why? It's one thing if you look in the world who don't know Jesus, but the question we should ask ourselves as Christians is why do we struggle so much to keep our peace? If Jesus is the Prince of Peace and the gospel is good news that will cause great joy for all people, that unto us a child is born, a Savior is given, and He is peace on earth to those in whom God's favor rests, where on earth did my peace go? Where did my peace go? I want to give you today a really simple message on how to identify where our peace is going and what's robbing our peace. It can go along really well with the Kevin McAllister outfit, because Kevin had to fend off some robbers that were coming in to steal valuables in his home. And I want us just very simply, I've created a list of some things that some robbers, some peace thieves that might be coming in and stealing your peace. I want to give you a peace plan today. You good? We awake? All right. So we're going to identify the peace thieves. This is what we're going to do. And I have a list of 10 common peace thieves that might be stealing your peace. They might be sneaking in your life and yoinking the peace that God has given you. And I want to identify them today. I have 10 of them that are pretty common. You might be able to add to this list, but I suspect we're going to cover most of the problems that we run into. So 10 common peace thieves. It's a tongue twister. 10 common ones. Here's the first one. Oh, this thing, is it going to work? There we go. 10 common peace thieves. Number one, Toil. Toil. What is toil? Toil is unceasing work. Oof. I felt that in the room. It's you never leave work, and when you do leave work, you bring it home with you. You can't leave the load of responsibility. You are on a constant merry-go-round of obligation. And you live in this constant drum of never really getting to just rest and let go. It's you find yourself in this rhythm of pushing the goal line of rest back week after week after week after week. I found myself many times, really, it's been a very busy run for me since August. And I found myself many times over the last month saying, you know, just a couple more weeks, just a couple more weeks. Just a couple more weeks, just one more week. And I had the memory. Anybody remember those heritage moments? Anybody grow up in the 80s or 90s? Remember the heritage moments? Those are part of my childhood. I've been reminded of this guy. This is a deep cut. This is the captain of the Blue Nose. Anybody remember that? Remember the famous line that he said? I know a lot of you don't know. The Blue Nose, and they're racing the Blue Nose, and he says, "One more race, old girl, then you can rest." Right? And I was like, that's my life. I am the Blue Nose, and this is my skipper. It's like, one more week, old boy, then you can rest. Right? You just get in this constant cycle of pushing the goal line of rest back further and further. And what happens is we start to like form an identity around this. We form an identity around our work, and we make productivity our priority. And it somehow, like, busyness becomes this badge of identity and even honor. How many of you answer when someone asks, "How's it going?" What do you say? Busy. Busy. We can turn our responsibility into some system of self-reliance, and we start to view busyness as faithfulness. It's not the same thing. Toil is one of the results of the fall. It's actually one of the results of disconnection with God. God said to Adam and Eve after sin enters the world that you're gonna get stuck in this system of toil where there's never going to be an end to the work. You can't toil and have peace with God at the same time, have peace, the peace of God at the same time. Psalm 127:2 says, "It is in vain that you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves." It's in vain. Now, the world rewards hustle, doesn't it? But the kingdom, and I would say your body, is made for peace. So toil is a peace thief. Number two, money. Money can be a peace thief, always needing more, maybe never having enough, depending on your financial situation. Constantly monitoring our finances, constantly checking the bank account, watching the stock market, worrying about your RSP. I can stress a bunch of you out just with pictures. Watch this. Oof. My dad's here. He knows that one. How about this one? Money can be a huge peace robber. And the problem is, Jesus said, you can either live trusting God's ultimate goodness and provision, and you can trust that he like cares about the sparrow, how much more will he care about you? Or you can focus on serving money or mammon. But one results in peace. But I find if you serve money, it taxes your peace. There is a peace tax when money is your focus. Number three, comparison. Comparison robs your peace. Does anybody notice that? You ever notice how quickly your joy and subsequently your peace can vanish when you see something that someone else has that you want and you don't have? I was doing fine. I was feeling great as a mom until I saw Miss Perfect on Instagram, right? I didn't mind my vehicle until my buddy got a new truck, and now my car sucks, right? I didn't feel bad until my friends started posting their tropical vacation pictures. I liked my house until I got invited over to their house. I felt fine with my life until I watched the show about that millionaire supermodel who builds charities all around the world. Now apparently I suck, right? Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain, but comparison will rob you. Has anybody learned that? Number four, worry. Just fear, constant worry. How many of you have learned that worry can just start, it can hit you out of nowhere? Fear can come in like the tide or like a flood. Panic can hit you all of a sudden, and you can go from 1 minute to feeling fine to the next minute being overwhelmed. I have found worry can sneak in and rob my peace, and worry is just a down payment on something that may never happen. Sometimes, for no specific reason, worry can creep in the back door of your soul and start to steal your peace. It's strange, too. I had an experience a couple weeks ago. I'd never had anything like it. I fell asleep, and I woke up around midnight and just got hit with waves of fear. Like, I was just, like, it was maybe like a borderline panic attack. And just, it came out of nowhere. I was sleeping. And then I woke up and I started stressing about this and this and this and this. And I laid there and I battled for 30 minutes just like trying to push the worry away. Worry can just come in and fear can come in and it will rob your peace. All right, let's get a little more real. I'm going to step on a few more toes. Distractions and digital noise. Oh, I heard a groan in the house. The deliverance. Yes. The power of Christ, the love of Christ compels you. Look, I can steal your peace with a sound. Watch this. Listen. Can you hear that? Here, I hate that one. Oh, that's the constant notifications, the constant tethering to everything in the world on this stupid thing. It's you have the weight of the world is in your pocket. My phone and texts and emails and push notifications and marketplace and group chat and news. Sometimes our peace just gets absorbed through not these big waves of trauma, but through a thousand little micro thefts all day long. Anybody experience that? Maybe you haven't put it together why you have no peace, and yet you are completely tethered to this. And it has this ability to steal your peace. I recently, since we started this podcast, Back Corner Podcast, every Tuesday, check it out. When we go in to record, I have to put my phone aside for about 2.5 hours. And it's been pretty good to get inventory on the volume of messages that I get through the run of a day. And it's not uncommon for me to get up from the podcast, grab my phone, and turn it on, and to have anywhere from 50 to 200 texts in that amount of time. And that's not email notifications or Instagram or any of that stuff. And some of us, I don't think, do inventory to even realize how tethered we are to this. And here's the thing, it can steal your peace. You were not made to be omniscient or to know everything that's going on in the world. So it's a problem. And it rolls in even deeper with this. Number six, social media. Social media. I mean, social media has this power, this ability to exacerbate 1 through 5, doesn't it? It just promotes it. The algorithm just feeds you what it knows your soul wants to hear the most. And we are drawn to these things. Let's go back to 2005 for a minute. Some of you weren't alive, but those of you who were, do you remember what it was like to not know what the president is thinking? As he rage baits on the toilet? Right? Like, do you remember what it's like to not know or care what your friend had for dinner? Or how your gym bro is doing with his gains? Do you remember what it was like to not be aware that your friends didn't invite you over to that party and you didn't feel left out because you didn't know? Do you remember what it was like to not be worried that asteroid that's coming to Earth is full of aliens? You weren't worried about that anyway? You should be. Do you remember what it was like to not have the news of the world in front of you all day, every day? It was a lot more peaceful. This thing can rob your peace. Social media can rob your peace. This is why two or three times a year I'll go dark on it. I'll delete social media entirely for 21 days, sometimes up to 3 months. No news, no social media, no likes, no posting, no doom scrolling. You've noticed that? It's called doom scrolling, not peace scrolling. You know what happens when I go dark on social media? You know what happens in the world? Nothing. It just keeps going on. And I find myself freed from this low-level anxiety that I didn't sometimes realize was there. Here's the thing. We were not built to know or care about everything going on in the world. This thing can rob your peace. I want to give you a little heads up. Coming up on January 4th, we're going to do a 21-day fast, and we are throwing out the challenge to King's Church this year. Some people are going to shudder when I say this. We're going to challenge you to do a 21-day digital fast. We're shutting off King's Church's social media channels for 21 days. Some of you are like, if you went into panic on that right now, legitimately, maybe the Lord's putting his finger on something. Another one, relationships can steal your peace, can't they? Sometimes it's not even about us. It's about the people that we love or the things that are going on in the lives of those we love or even in strangers. These relationships we have with other people can steal your peace. I think about just Tuesday of last week. I was reminded of how easily people can steal my peace. First, I started my morning out with everyone's favorite thing, an elementary school Christmas concert. Except it wasn't a Christmas concert, it was a winter concert. We dare not say Christ. Anyway, I'll save my rant for another time. You want to see humanity at its worst. Cram 400 parents and grandparents into a small elementary school gym. Oh yeah, it's incredible. And then I left there and I went to a funeral visitation. And then after that funeral visitation, I ran into a dad from our church who was just absolutely torn up about some of the choices that his adult daughter is making. And then right after that, I got a phone call from a woman in our church dealing with domestic abuse. And I was just reminded of how a lot of the time, what's stealing our peace is just the people in our lives. You know, people that we love, people that we know, or people that we're sitting with in an elementary school concert. Friends and family can steal our peace. Loneliness, lack of these relationships can steal our peace. Strangers can steal our peace. Anybody like get angry driving this time of the year? Politicians and public figures can steal our peace. It's incredible to me how angry I can get sometimes just listening to politicians talk. Like just the sound of their voice, just right? Like, why am I giving them that power over my life, right? Is this too real for December 21st? No, I'm going to give you a gift here in just a second, but it's important we identify these thieves. Number eight, our bodies. Our bodies can steal our peace. And again, some of these things we're not at fault for. How many know like physical ailments and sickness can really tax your peace? You ever like find somebody who deals with chronic pain? It's exhausting. It's exhausting. Number nine, sin. Sin is a peace thief. Sin is a peace thief. Pastor friend of mine in Atlanta said, you can't walk in God's peace if you're not walking in God's will. Disobedience wears us out. It's exhausting to be Jonah. Right? Sin has us on the run. Hiding, dealing, coping. I've had friends who have had affairs that after it came out, there was a level of relief just from the exhaustion of living the lie. Sin is a peace thief. This is where maybe that quote, "There's no rest for the wicked." It's true. Number 10, and this goes hand in hand with sin, regret. Shame, guilt. There's an old French proverb that says, there's no pillow as soft as a clear conscience. Man, our regrets can keep us up at night, can't they? Shame can keep us up at night. So these are the peace thieves. And there's probably more you could add to the list, but I suspect that's plenty to deal with today. These are some of the things that are sneaking into your life and robbing your peace. And here's the claim of the gospel again, that a Savior has been born, peace on earth has come in him, through him, for all who believe. Peace is available, but for a lot of us, it keeps getting stolen by these thieves. So what should we do? Well, we have to plan a defense. We need to plan a defense. My favorite part, maybe this is just like the nerd in me, my favorite part of Home Alone is when Kevin builds a battle plan. My cousin had that on a poster in his house as a kid, and I used to stare at it forever. I was like, oh, what an awesome plan. That's the best scene in the whole movie, too, right? Where Harry and Marv just come in, and Kevin just lays waste to them with paint cans and ornaments and tar and nails. It's violent, y'all, and we need a little more of that in kids' movies these days. But anyway. But look, a lot of us struggle to keep our peace, but we actually have no plan to keep it. The doors of our lives are unguarded, unlocked. The windows are open, and so we just are completely vulnerable to some of these peace thieves that just can come in at any point in the day and take our peace away. We struggle to keep our peace because we don't have a plan for defense. So I want to give you three B's that are going to help you build a plan to keep the peace thieves out. I should have picked a different two words because peace thieves was way harder to say out loud many times than I thought it would be. Number one, three B's. This is an equipping message. This might be the best gift you get this year if you can kind of take this stuff to heart. Number one, set some boundaries. Some boundaries, some rules. If you know where some of these thieves are getting in, you need to fortify yourself in those areas. If it's relationships, maybe there's some relationships that are just robbing your peace that you've actually got to get some distance and to draw some lines. If it's money, if money is robbing your peace, maybe you need to pump the brakes on how much you spend or how much time you spend looking at the stock market or looking at your savings or looking at your RSP. If it's your body, listen, there's a lot of things in our bodies we cannot control. And I've learned that more and more the older I get. Interestingly enough, this thing is not working as good as it used to. Does that keep happening? Okay, yeah. But listen, there's a lot of things when it comes to your body that you can't control that will try to steal your peace. But you know what? And I'll just say this in love. There's a lot of things in your body you can control. And if it's in your power to get healthier, you might be a little happier. You might actually experience a little bit more peace. So maybe some of you need to draw some lines. New Year's is coming. Make a new resolution. If it's worry and fear that you struggle with, that's stealing your peace, maybe you need to draw some hard lines and set up some boundaries. Maybe there's some things you're watching or some stuff you're listening to that's just allowing peace robbers to get in. And look, this isn't legalism. This is called wisdom. If it's sin, if there's an area of sin in your life that's robbing your peace, here is the rocket science that you can do. Stop. Repent. Confess it to God. Receive the infinite mercy and grace and acceptance of God who will forgive you. And then start building some areas of borders and some areas of boundaries that you can actually like have some accountability and set up some systems to say, I can't. You know what, if you struggle with alcohol, maybe the bar is not the best place to hang out. If it's social media or digital distractions, if that's robbing your peace, maybe some of you need to like delete it. Like, I can't delete it. Yeah, you can. So we need to set up boundaries. Number two, need some breaks. This is kind of like boundaries, but maybe there's some things that aren't sin, but too much of it brings you into excess, and that's starting to rob your peace. So what limits or boundaries should you set up? Should you limit your screen time? You know, this thing will actually tell you the truth of how much time you're spending on it. Have a look. It's scary. And there is this idea like that Christians have had for many years where it's like you become like that which you gaze at and worship. And you think about the amount of time we do this, right? Like maybe replace an hour of this with an hour of this. What would happen? How would you start to be formed? Should you tighten your budget? Can you rein in your diet? What's a healthy amount of exposure to that relationship that is hurting you or maybe just really drains you? Maybe some of you need to set up some breaks, some restraint. And then another type of breaks. Here's the last kind of pro tip on keeping the thieves out. So set up some boundaries, set up some breaks, some restraint, and then set up some breaks, like some actual breaks where you take a break, where you have some rest. We are designed as human beings to switch off. We actually have to. Do you know that, like, after God delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt, he gave Moses the Ten Commandments, and one of them was this, Exodus chapter 20. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. 6 days a week you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, your male or female servants, nor your animals, or any foreigner residing in your towns. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but he rested, even God rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. You and I are designed to work 6 days and to have a day off. It's in the Bible. It's in the Ten Commandments. And here's a question for you. You ever consider why God commanded that one day a week we rest? Well, maybe there's physiological and spiritual and emotional reasons for sure, but I think there's a conceptual reason to it. And that's because he designed us to be sons, not slaves. Slaves work every day. Oh, that hurts. Slaves work every day with no end in sight. Slaves toil. We were designed to have a relationship with him. I recently started a relationship with a spiritual director, and basically just for my own soul, to talk to somebody, and somebody doesn't know me or go to the church or like just. And in our first meeting, he was trying to get to know me, and he asked some really pointed questions, and he said, "Do you do well taking breaks?" And I was like, "No." And he said this thing to me that's really just stuck with me for weeks. He said, "If rest feels like sin, then you're serving the wrong God. If it feels like you can't take a break, then you're serving some other God. You're not serving the Lord of the Sabbath." So we need these breaks, and it's commanded. I know sometimes we think it's optional. Maybe this is one of the ways we sort of mix the religion and the way of the world in with our Christianity, and it becomes this kind of syncretism. But I think sometimes we think, if I keep working, I'm doing a good thing. But God's actually saying, no, you have to take a day. You have to unplug. You need these breaks. So examine your life. Ask yourself where you're letting your peace get robbed. Ask yourself, what is in my power to make it stop? Plan a defense. And then you ask the question, okay, but my peace has been stolen. I don't have peace right now. How do I get it back? Here's my last thing for you today. We find him who is peace. Here's the best news. We know the Prince of Peace. And even if our peace gets stolen, we freely get to come back to him and receive the peace that surpasses all understanding. Here's the best news. Jesus' peace is unlimited. It does not expire. It does not run out. It is all sufficient and it is never ending. And any time you and I come to Jesus, we come to the one who is peace. Look back at chapter 2 with me. Says the angels told the shepherds, let me go back. Said, this will be a sign to you. The angels gave the shepherds a clear way to identify Jesus, how to find him. The impetus on the fact that they had to leave their fields and go find the Prince of Peace. There was a role and a responsibility that they had where they had to go seek him out. And then it tells us at the end of it, when the angels left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go find him. Let's go seek him out. Let's go find where this Messiah, this Prince of Peace, can be found. And this is the simple yet clear invitation of the gospel and the proclamation of the Christmas story. Peace has come in the person of Jesus, and you and I are invited anywhere, anytime, any day, any place to turn to him and seek him and find him who is peace. And that's some good news, because I think there's some weary people in King's Church today and some anxious people in King's Church today. And I hope that you can identify the thieves and you can close off those points of access, but you've got to learn in your life how to constantly keep seeking out and abiding with the one who is peace himself. And here's the best news. If your peace was stolen, you can find more peace in Jesus. He is the one who, the moment we connect with him, he returns to us that which was lost. There is nothing that was stolen from you that he isn't able to bring his peace into. Like, think about the places we get robbed. Think about toil. Jesus says, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You think about money and worry about money. Jesus assures us, I've got you. I'll take care of you. You think about comparison. Jesus is contentment. You think about worry. Jesus is our confidence. This is why Paul wrote, like, if God is for us, who can be against us? We read it in our Advent thing earlier today. 1 John 4:8 says, the perfect love of God casts out fear. If you know you're loved by God, you don't have to be afraid of anything. Think about distractions and digital noise. Well, Jesus is the ultimate focal point of life. He can become your focus. Think of that old song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. If you feel overwhelmed by marketing and news and branding and billboards and your news feed and doom scrolling, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Think about your relationships. You think about social media. You think about your body. Well, how can he fix my body if it's broken? Well, sometimes he heals us. And sometimes we have not because we ask not. But even the assurance that comes from knowing, I'm going to get a new body someday. One that doesn't have back pain. One that's not balding. I'm going to have the longest hair in heaven. Guys, you watch out. You watch out. I'm going to have a mullet for 1,000 years, and I'm going to do I'm going to have an afro, just try it out. What about sin? Sin robbing your joy? Boldly approach the throne of grace. There's new mercy every single morning. What about regret and guilt and shame? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He is the peace for every area that these peace thieves come in and try to steal and rob and kill and destroy. Jesus said the thief comes to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you would have life and have it to the full. If we have Jesus, we have peace. So, final question. Where do we find the Prince of Peace? I want to just teach you. And here's my Christmas gift to you. I want to teach you just a practice that you can do anytime, anywhere, any moment you feel like your peace is getting stolen. This is a way that you can invite Jesus in to be sufficient peace for you. So how do we find him? Here's three things. This is like a simple life hack. Maybe you're at work. Maybe you're going for treatment. Whatever it is. Maybe you got that phone call you were dreading. Here's three things that you can do anytime, anywhere, that will immediately get you to Jesus. Here they are. Pause. What do I mean by pause? I mean pause Jesus word. pause, take a deep breath. I like to practice something that a guy named John Eldridge calls benevolent detachment, where you detach yourself from the worries of the world and you attach yourself to the goodness of God in Jesus Christ. So it's changing your focus, like in the moment. It's pausing and just saying, stop, everything stop. Sometimes I just whisper the name of Jesus. I just say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I breathe. I be still. And I know that he's God. So you pause. Then you pray. Sometimes I'll pray the thing that John Eldridge prays in that benevolent detachment. He says, Jesus, I give everyone and everything to you. I give everyone and everything to you. Sometimes I pray in the Spirit. Sometimes I pray the Psalms. Some of you are like, I don't know how to pray. You know what? You can start just by praying the Psalms. Read a psalm out loud in faith and say amen. Memorize Psalm 23. There's been so many times I've just paused and then I wait and then I'll say, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me down the right paths for his name's sake. And even if I walk through the darkest valley, I'll fear no evil because he's with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. I'm chosen. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, even this day, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So you pause, you pray, and then I find praise is a great weapon. Just learn how to worship him. Take 2 minutes and just be like, Jesus, you are the king of everything. Jesus, you have nobody challenging your lordship. Jesus, you're glorious. Just learn how to just, in your own clunky, honest way, just learn in the moment. When those thieves are like, you know, when Harry and Marv are circling your house, you learn how to praise. Maybe some of you don't even know how to do it. Flip some worship music on and crank it up. What happens when you start praising is it changes the atmosphere. Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. So the moment you start praising, the presence of God, who is peace, rushes in. There have been so many times in my home or in my office where I was like, I gotta just put on the most bumping gospel praise music right now because I just want to go to bed and hide. And so I'm gonna crank it up and I'm gonna praise God in faith. And you know what I find? The peace of God comes. So here's what we're going to do to close off today. I want to invite, just in a sacred moment, just stand at all of our locations. Let's stand. And we collectively, before we go into Christmas week, I'm going to gift you with the breath of God and the peace of God. So we're going to do it together. We're gonna practice these three P's. So just take a posture for a minute. Bow your heads, close your eyes, and let's pause. Just if you want to just say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Maybe offer him surrender. Just say, I give everyone and everything to you, Jesus. I give everyone and everything to you, Jesus. just pause, just be silent, be still. I'm going to take 60 seconds and be still. Breathe. Give everyone and everything to you, Jesus. We cast all our cares at you, at your feet, knowing you care for us. Now we pray, Lord, we receive your peace. Jesus, you said, my peace I give you. We, with gratitude, receive your peace. Father, I pray over my brothers and sisters, fill us with your peace right now. Remove the yoke of slavery, toil. Clothe us in your righteousness. Cover our shame and our nakedness. Heal our wounds. Take our focus, God. We pray as you taught us to pray, our Father, in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for listening. If you found this helpful today, why don't you give it a share? If you need prayer or anything, we'd love to help you out with that. Why don't you go to our website at kingschurch.cc. Thanks again.